Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and we take a look at some of the stories that you'll find in the Lakeville Journal and even some of the stories you'll find in their sister paper, the Millerton News. Are we all on board? Everybody at home and accounted for?
Good morning, yes.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this day before? See, to me, the big holiday weekend starts on Friday, because when I get out of here at about 10 after
it
9,
does.
My weekend has started then. So for me, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
That's true, for many other people as well. Yeah.
That's right, and that's a good beginning to the summer season.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, let us go to the front page of the journal, and I took a couple of the stories and posted them and talked about them and gave credit to TriCornerNews.com because they are big stories for our area. And the first one is that the Dresser property, Jim Dresser has now donated that land for affordable housing, and that was the property, of course, that caused that town meeting. It wasn't cantankerous, but it was a little tense. Well, now that property has been donated, and they're going to try once again to make this affordable housing.
Yes, that meeting you referenced was 7 years ago, and a proposal then was voted down because they were worried about encroachment of the rail trail, but they believe they've got a solution to that this time, and it's a totally wonderful gift to the town. And even as they proceed with this and succeed, hopefully, it does not really remove the long-term need for more affordable rental housing elsewhere in the town. I think the next step will be, once the title is transferred, they will have public information meetings and a town meeting. So, and one of the points in this story by Deb Alexenis is that the big obstacle in finding land a lot for building affordable housing. So this is a real boon.
All right, so that is a big story number one, and a story that I've often thought about. Once again, it's Deb. Once again, and that is Twin Lakes. Beautiful, beautiful lakes. Beautiful way to recreate and have fun and enjoy our area, but with the summertime coming, more boaters are out there, more parties are out there, and anybody knows who's in broadcasting. If you are by a lake or on a lake, and you make noise, it's like it's echoing down a valley. The water intensifies that noise, and people, what seem to be miles away, can hear it.
Right. This is another wonderful story to sort of walk up to the summer season, because boats are being launched every minute up there at O'Hara's Landing. And you're absolutely right. The sound carries right across that water. And last year, the membership association up there had a meeting, but to sort of air out their problems, but they never really came up with a solution. So we decided to take another look this year to see if anything has materialized over the winter. And it's also aggravated by the fact that a lot of the lakefront homeowners are now, like everybody else, working at home and working remotely. So they're trying to work while the party's going on out on the pontoon boats. So First Selectman Chris Rand seems to think that he's got some kind of a possible solution for this summer.
You know, it's a sticky wicket, because you want to keep people having their rights to use the lake and recreate, but that doesn't mean at others' expense. So the sticky wicket is finding the common ground.
Right. Well, Curtis believes that it's hopeful if people understand the problem and try to behave.
Well, the best way to do it, and it costs money, and I don't know who would pay for it, is to have somebody who patrols the lake, and when something like that happens, comes up in a patrol boat, a little boat, and said, "Hey, please turn it down or go back in." It's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. But it's just another one of those problems arise when you have surroundings like we have that are absolutely beautiful that you want to get out and recreate in.
Right. Well, I think Curtis has got a plan to do something on weekends, but not during the week.
Yeah. And well, the cost would be prohibited during the week. You can't. It's like hiring. It would be like hiring a police department. That's pretty expensive and also restrictive. Nice picture of Ed Kirby. He's going to be honored. They're going to rename the ball field the Ed Kirby Field. There's a lot going on. The interesting thing about this story, and like I said, I've known the Kirby family my whole life, every member of the Kirby family. And Ed Kirby was more than a baseball coach. He was more than a teacher, more than a principal, more than an administrator, more than a person who knows the geology and history of this region, more of a person that really spanned generations of families in our area. And people like that, icons in our area, we're losing more and more of them, that their impact spanned, in my case, the impact spanned my life, my sons, my daughters, my brothers, my sister, my uncle. And it's not just me. That's the way Ed Kirby has impacted this area forever.
Well, I really encourage people to take a look at the front page. Go out and get a paper just to see the photo of Ed Kirby in a baseball uniform. He graduated from the Housatonic Regional Valley High School in 1945, and this photo just really takes you back. I also encourage people to go to the event on June 4th at the high school, because the school will be open for tours, and there'll be a little lunch. It definitely is a good chance to see the high school. I was up there myself just the other day, but I don't think I can in any way cover that story the way you just did, Marshall.
I think it's not, like I said, it's not just me. It's people around the area. There's just certain personalities in this area that have had a major influence, positive influence, over so many different areas of life. And Ed Kirby happened to be one of those people. And people can get a chance out there and hear the speakers and greet Ann. Ann Kirby's going to be there, a member of the family, and everybody else. So that will be a wonderful event. I want to point something out that helped me out. It gave me a couple of answers that I didn't have. Right there in both the Lakeville Journal and in the Millerton News, you have a complete list of Memorial Day activities that are going on in our area. So if people have any question about is Memorial Day back in our area, it is, and you've got the complete list there for this immediate area. Well done job there. Like I said, I was missing one or two puzzle pieces, and you supplied them for me.
Great.
All right, let's go on to something that is not local but is local, and that is a forum that offers an insider's view of the Ukraine war.
Yes, Patrick Sullivan interviewed Maria Yovanovitch before her talk, which is coming up on June 1st at the high school, and it will be moderated by Lawrence Rand. It's definitely her view that not surprising that Putin is going to not stop here. He will just keep on going. Also, we didn't really put this in the story, but Marie Ivanovich is a Kent school grad, and her parents taught there, so she's got a local connection.
And, of course, that local connection during the final years of the Trump administration really came full-born when she was relieved of her duties over in Ukraine by the president. A story that I shook my head. I've golfed at Hotchkiss Golf Course for many, many years. I haven't golfed since I started this radio station with Jill because I haven't had the time. But before that, I would spend two or three days every day and a weekend day golfing at Hotchkiss. And it always amazed me how cautious you have to be when you're golfing at Hotchkiss. And you have to cross the road when you golf at Hotchkiss. There's many times, one, two, three, four times at least, and possibly a fifth time. And there's never been an accident, and that all changed this past week with that accident on Route 41.
Yes, it's a very unfortunate and a sad story. A driver was a golf cart driver was just coming out on what really is a small side street, and who knows how this happened, but the golf cart and a car collided. The police report indicates that the golf cart turned in front of the car, but this was a sad day at the course.
Yeah, it's one of those things where that's one of those places where you're on a major highway, even if people are going the speed limit, which is 35 to 40 miles an hour, and you're not looking exactly in the right area, a car is upon you in moments, and 35 to 40 miles an hour hitting a golf cart or a pedestrian is a bad situation. We hope the man recovers well, and maybe some lights will be put up and stuff like that. But that's a story that I've been looking for a while. I want to go to a story that once again. The Lakeville Journal awakens me to something that I didn't know happened, and that is a new head of the Sharon Healthcare Center is profiled.
Yes, Ray Wilkins has a background in emergency response. He was a paramedic, and he sort of returned back to the nursing home world, and he's very much, this story is a sort of long look at how he perceives the role and how he's going to approach it. And it is very much in line with modern nursing home care. They really try to even get away from the use of the word facility because they're trying to make nursing homes as comfortable and welcoming as a home environment. And then he also makes a good point, which is that many people, as they get older, really don't. They want to stay at home, and there are only about 1.5 million people living in nursing homes. The vast majority of elderly stay in their home as long as possible. So his point, however, is that when it comes time, you really do look for a full nursing home care, and that's what he's trying to provide in the most friendly, safe way.
It's a major step in life. I remember when I had to deal with my mother. We moved her from a big house into the Beckley House Apartments. And I'll never forget after the first winter she spent at the Beckley House Apartments. She said, "Boy, that was an easy winter." And I said, "Yeah, Ma, it was an easy winter because you didn't have to worry about heat, power, plowing, or anything else like that."
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, you got to look at those things. And then, of course, there's the continuum of care where they go from there to the nursing home and to whatever help and facilities that you need. Because being elderly around here, even though I was a great son, but I could only spend several hours a day with my mother with my other responsibilities. So these homes that care for elderly are a very important part of our landscape, and we're lucky to have quality locations around here. Nice story on that. I love the headline: "Dirt Racers, Baby Goats, and Pickles at Agricultural Education Open House."
Right. I mean, you go from nursing homes to high schools here. Yeah. We continue to find tremendously vibrant youth activities around here. We didn't mention at all, there was a pretty good-sized rally on abortion rights at the high school last week. It was actually last Friday. And then not too long after that, we had this fabulous, agricultural education open house. It was agricultural science and technology open house. And the headline was a real grabber because there were, in fact, baby goats and pickles and all kinds of what I noticed. There was a reference in it to a student who moved to Falls Village from Arizona 2 years ago, and she's now, running her quarter horse in competition up here.
You know, you mentioned those things. We had the students in Falls Village put on an affair and give gifts to people, once again, in one of the care homes. And you had almost 200 students show up at Housatonic, a school that only has a school population of just under 400. And you compare that in Salisbury, the adults had 200 people. You do see the youth in our area actively involved. And that's what you need, because they're the ones that are going to take over for everybody and hopefully do a better job than what we've done.
Right. Well, I interviewed the young woman who's a senior at Housatonic, Avery Tripp, and she organized a rally, and her theme was, we got to take action.
Okay. Well, they, you know, someone's got to take action and take over with the mess that we've all managed to create. Let's talk about the firehouse in Falls Village. They've got bids, they've got a bid, but there's so many legal entanglements there that that firehouse could be a beneficial addition to Falls Village, which has suddenly got a lot of different businesses that attract a lot of different people to town.
Right, and the I guess it will be next, on June 1st, coming up at 7 o'clock, they're going to sort of discuss the four bidders. One might be an office space. Another might be mixed commercial residential, personal space, or even a carpentry workshop. So the bids are all, you know, lined up, and they start at $200,000. They go up from there, not too much. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Be nice if somebody bid to turn that into a park, and it goes along with the park, which has, I tell you what Falls Village has done, in between the Old Town Hall and the Falls Village Inn, that little park setting there is absolutely gorgeous, and really opens up the center of the town. So Falls Village is definitely a town that is on the move. You know, the next two stories go hand in hand, and that is we're all used to hybrid meetings over the past couple of years. Region 1 is now mulling hybrid meetings. Kent is making plans for remote meetings. Sharon just spent thousands of dollars to do remote meetings and live meetings. This is going to be, the wave of the future for our area.
Yes, and I'm glad you noted that these were a package, because they really do go hand in hand. In Kent, they definitely are spending some money to make both the large meeting room and a smaller meeting room work in that way. In Falls Village, the Region 1 meeting, which was really region-wide, is focusing on the idea of having hybrid meetings where both not only members of the public but also members of the board could choose to attend online. And they note that there are challenges. For example, even home networks don't work so well, but also sometimes the institution's networks, like a town hall meeting, might not work too well. So there's a lot going on here, and I think it has some bearing on what it means for, use that big word, democracy. If you live in an area where you don't have internet, you have to go to the meeting or you're out. So it's a big story.
Yeah, it's a good story, and a lot of the towns are using the Affordable Rescue Plan Act funds to install some of this technology, and it's technology that is needed. We talked about whatever the woolly bear, but I still call them the gypsy moss. Around here, we have two strikes against us, because not only do we have those, but once again, you've got a great story on tick research.
Yes, this came out of the Carey Institute. It was a 6-year study, and it's a little alarming because what the researchers did was test two ways to reduce tick populations, and then see what the outcome was in terms of infections among the populations of the people who lived there. And so what they found was that one method with bait boxes really reduced tick populations by about a half, and the other was a spray that didn't really have quite a big effect. But what's disturbing, so to speak, is that even if they had a 50% decline in the tick population, it was they had the same amount of tick-borne illnesses among people. So, you know, where do we go from here?
Yeah, it's like I said, it's the old proverbial 1-2 punch. Let's go on. We have about 3 minutes left to the editorial page, Janet. Keeping safe while reconnecting this all. With we have the theaters, we have all the arts, and now we have, of course, a Memorial Day all opening back up for us.
Right. We talk about the Memorial Day difference this year compared to the past 2 years. We had some activities last year, but the weather interfered, of course, as well. And so as things open up, it's difficult for people to feel safe and know that they can move forward and try to do these things. But, boy, it is a balance to feel healthy emotionally as well as physically. We're glad that there are these outdoor activities. They're among the safest we can take part in. So everybody get out there, read about what is happening this weekend in the paper, and take part in your town's activities. The ceremonies and the parades are just very affecting and important to everyone in the town. And it's a benchmark time. You see what's happened in the town all year, and for this Memorial Day, you'll see what's changed over the past couple of years. So take part.
All right, and we've got turning back the pages, and once again, lots and lots of letters.
Lots and lots of letters. Don't miss Charlie Kelly's giving us ways to find joy. It, you know, we can all think about it, but he gives us very concrete examples of what gives him joy, and it took him really examining it to find them too. So don't miss that letter. We all need it this week. Janet Nixon has a clarification on the 37th Sharon Classic Road Race, so read that one. Important letter. We have an important letter, too, from Gail Shanley in Falls Village on midwifery and the alternative choice for childbirth. Very important right now as we're looking at changes at Sharon Hospital.
And you've got Ralph Nader's commentary on of course, Donald Ross was in there, and also Lisa Wright's article.
That's right. We're glad to have Ralph Nader's remembrance of Donald K. Ross, who we remembered last week as well. So important to us and to so many over the course of his life. And Ralph Nader explains where some of that background comes from. Do not miss it. It's really fascinating and a wonderful tribute to Donald Ross.
And we only have a minute, but with everything opening back up, you have a very big Compass edition again this week.
We do, and what's in there is lots of things to do, but also don't miss a full page of photos and the story about trade secrets, which was one of these first events that everybody took part in. Really good attendance outdoors, so that was helpful, but a beautiful day at Lime Rock Park that Trade Secrets shared. And don't miss Tri-Corner Real Estate, also in the paper this week. Lots of properties, surprisingly, out there for sale and being snapped up as quick as they show up.
I was going to say, the ever-changing property scene. Well, once again, this week in the Lakeville Journal, want you guys to have a great holiday weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, Marshall.
All right, take care. You can find the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News at tricornernews.com. And you can find this show at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.